For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
60theref.com. Meet your new best friend. Brought to you by Acura of Athens, helping stray dogs find forever homes.
All right, it's the second half kickoff here for the morning show, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Going to be another nice day today, but being told it's getting back in the 90s soon, like in the next few days, so enjoy this while we can. Yesterday felt like a fall football Saturday. Only thing I was missing was the Redcoats off in the distance.
It's not the afternoons that remind me of fall. It's when you wake up and you head out to the car early in the morning and there's that little bit of a nip in the air. Like today, I had to adjust the temperature in my air conditioner to go more toward the warm side just because it was a little bit chilly this morning. Mm-hmm. Didn't have my hoodie on, Dave. I don't normally pull the hoodie out in June.
No, we were going to go get a bite to eat last night and sit outside, but it was a little cooler than we were dressed for, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Well, you got to dress for success, Dave.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
So we will get to Locos back on the patio. Just didn't get to do it last night. Time to bring in Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. BA, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Hope you guys are doing well also. Yep.
Doing great. Excited to see the news of Champ Bailey being on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot. What was your reaction and thoughts to Champ the Bulldog as opposed to Champ the Bronco?
Yeah, I'm excited about that as well. I mean, obviously, Champ will go down as one of the great cornerbacks in modern NFL history, and I think it's also important to note what his UGA career was there as well. I mean, I'll go back and say in, like, say 1998, Champ may have been Georgia's best defensive and offensive player because he played a good bit of wide receiver for UGA there as well. I mean, this was truly a special player, and obviously if anybody's worthy of Hall of Fame induction, Bailey would be one of those guys, and I really hope Champ gets in. I'm sure he will get in at some point in time. I don't have any doubt about that.
Yeah, and you'd think, well, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has him, the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame has him. You kind of figure the College Football Hall of Fame will be another landing place for him too.
And it's kind of cool to think about how, you know, obviously Bailey is an all-time great defensive back, and that kind of comes in this time in which, you know, Georgia's secondary play I think has been stellar. That's one of Kirby Smart's strengths. So as Georgia continues to try to add these five-star cornerbacks and, you know, continue to do well recruiting that position, a little bit more prominent discussion for Champ obviously helps Georgia in its future recruiting efforts there as well, at a position, by the way, secondary, where it's been knocking out of the park when it comes to recruiting anyway.
Talking to Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
B.A., we had our buddy Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, now analyst. He was on an Atlanta radio station this week, and Mike Griffith actually wrote about this over at Dog Nation. But he basically proclaimed that Jamie Newman is quote, way more talented than Alabama's Mac Jones. Now, we at Dog Nation, or in Dog Nation, love to hear those kind of things. But I feel like those kind of headlines are met with a great ire from people not affiliated with the University of Georgia. Why is it that proclaiming a proven quarterback to be better than what was nothing but Alabama's backup quarterback the last couple of years or last season, why is that met with such disdain by people not affiliated with the University of Georgia?
Well, I think it requires some projection. And for some people, projection's always going to be in the eye of the beholder. We've seen what Mac Jones looks like in an Alabama offense. You can decide for yourself if you think that's good enough to get it done for them or not. We've only seen Jamie Newman in a Wake Forest offense. And you can think about how that skill set would look with more talent around it and how that skill set would look in some games that matter, but for certain people, they can't get over the idea of a Wake Forest uniform there and the certain expectations mm-hmm. we have for a quarterback there in that situation. I mean, I've said over and over again, I do believe that Jamie Newman will be Georgia's starting quarterback, whether JT Daniels is eligible or not. I haven't changed my mind on that. I'm still in the belief of that. As far as how good Newman will he be a first-round pick at the end of the year? Will he be, as has been kind of kicked around by Las Vegas, a potential Heisman finalist? I'm not quite so sure about any of that. I'm going to hold off on making those kinds of proclamations. But in terms of being good enough for what Georgia needs, I just think the requisite skill set that Newman seems to be bringing to the table should be plenty enough to be, you know, good enough. So does he match the top-end projections that are out there? I guess I don't have a problem with opposing fans or national media-type people being a little skeptical of that. I'm fine with that. But in terms of being good enough for what Georgia needs for a guy that's shown the ability to move around the pocket, a guy that's shown the ability to connect on some deep throws, yeah, I mean, I would say that the odds of Newman being good enough for Georgia, giving them a chance to win in places like Tuscaloosa in September, I think the odds of Newman being good enough on the basis of all that's probably pretty good.
What's the wild card, though, with, like, Daniels and Newman? I mean, Munkin, Buster Faulkner, I mean, how do we know how to kind of handicap a race that we don't know is theoretically out there at the moment or not?
Yeah, Dave, I think that's a really good question. I wrote about this at one point in time at Dog Nation, that it's very difficult to compare Newman and Daniels, assuming Daniels is eligible for the upcoming season, because Daniels may have been a little worse in his freshman year a couple of years ago than we expect a typical USC quarterback to be. Newman probably better than we expect a typical Wake Forest quarterback to be. And so there's a little bit of an apples to oranges comparison in terms of, you know, where these two guys come from, you know, the program, everything else. Here's what I'm going to say. You know, the belief that I had when Georgia went out and got Jamie Newman was this was a player that could come in and ignite the offense the way that Georgia needs it to be. Now, I think that ultimately Munkin's more important than either of these quarterbacks we're going to talk about. But Newman, to me, just looked like he had the raw materials that could be used. And I'm not going to change my mind on that just because JT Daniels is here. I believe that Daniels' best value to Georgia, whether he's eligible this season or not, his best value will be the fact that he also has, you know, 2021 where he can step in and be the starting quarterback. That's what I believe made Daniels the most attractive to Georgia. Would you like to have him eligible this year and have the maximum possible quarterback depth? Something, by the way, that Alabama can say it has in comparison to Georgia, because Mac Jones has started some before. Bryce Young, as a former five-star recruit, will seemingly have, you know, plenty of case to make a name for himself as a player this year. Alabama would appear to have a little bit more quarterback depth than Georgia does at the moment. So if Daniels is ruled eligible, obviously you'll embrace that depth that Daniels will provide. But for me, you know, opinions are what they are this time of year. My opinion is that Newman, even if Daniels is eligible, will still be the starter.
Brandon Adams with us, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
B.A., you are our third guest on Wednesday in the last 3 days. Mike Griffith on Monday, Chip Towers yesterday, and you've got the Wednesday spot. I'm going to ask you basically the same thing I asked them and just kind of put all of our opinions in here together. Did you see the pictures this week of Zamir White with the running back groups over there with Del McGee? I, for one, was blown away with what he looks like right now. And how did that make you feel seeing what could be the big breakout star this year for the Georgia running back position?
Well, for me, I think that Zamir White's a very interesting player. And we've talked about him on my show, Dog Nation Daily, a couple times over the last few days as well, just because it's easy to forget at one time what people thought about Zamir. Former number one running back in the country for the class 2018, dealt with a couple of injuries. Last year, he was kind of the second running back in an offense that sputtered, so therefore there wasn't going to be a lot of productivity for him to go around. Yeah, I saw the photo of he and the other running backs kind of getting some fellowship with Del McGee. I'm not always an expert in kind of telling who looks like what when it comes to these photos, but certainly he seemed to look pretty impressive. James Hook, for that matter, yeah, kind of looked pretty impressive in a photo like that. Sometimes I'm not quite so sure if it's the players actually look that great or if it's just me excited to be seeing the players again after, you know, what can kind of feel like a little bit of a long off season. But either way, my expectations and my excitement, I guess, is a better way to say that. My excitement for what Zamir White might be able to do this season, I think, is very high for me right now, because if this is, you know, one of those, you know, top five type running backs in the country, the way that a typical Georgia running back might be, I think that speaks very well for UGA. And I'm a big believer in this. Even though Todd Munkin kind of would seem to come from the air raid background and would seem to be here to upgrade the passing game, at least primarily thought of more so than the running game. The truth is, Joe Brady's presence at LSU last year as a passing game coordinator was incredibly valuable for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back who ended up with more than 1,400 yards rushing. I think that Todd Monken will benefit Georgia running backs, even though he himself is thought of as kind of a passing game guru, because a less predictable offense, I just believe, opens up more opportunities for running backs. And so I think that Zamir will be in better hands in a Monken offense than he otherwise would have been, even though previous Georgia offenses may have accented the run a little bit more. I think these Georgia running backs, Zamir included, will probably benefit from Monken's presence if it works out the way that I think that it will.
Interesting. You and Connor Riley yesterday talked about the blue chip ratio, and clean up my words here if you need to. A blue chip ratio is the percentage of players that were formerly 4- and 5-star recruits. Is that, am I saying that right?
Yeah. So okay. Bud Elliott from 24/7 Sports says that teams need to sign a preponderance of 4- and 5-star players.
Gotcha.
More than 50% 4- and 5-star over the previous 4 years to win a national championship. That's essentially the thing that all national champions do. I'll give Bud some credit for some good insight on that.
Okay, so Georgia comes in at 82%, which is just 1% less than Alabama at the top with 83. B.A., this is one of those numbers and analytics we can look at that you kind of need to knock on the door of your Tennessee fan neighbor, maybe your Florida fan neighbor, and say, this is one thing I don't think you guys are taking into account as we look toward the next fall and the next couple of falls to come. Tennessee's not on this list. They are less than 50. Florida does come in at 63, which is respectable, but it's not 82% like Georgia. But, B.A., I think this plays a major factor in what we can expect from Georgia the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an actual tangible benefit to this. Compare Georgia and Florida for a moment. If we're talking about 85 scholarship players, if 82% of them are former 4- and 5-star players, potential NFL names, in other words, then that's a handful of players that Georgia has access to. I'm not going to do the math live on the air here, but that's access to players that Georgia's got access. That's a handful of players that Georgia has access to that a school like Florida does. Those extra players can make a difference when you face them head to head. Now, Tennessee, by the way, may join this list next year. You know, when that 2021 class comes in, one way or another, it's likely to be, you know, even if it's bottom part of the top 10, it's likely to be somewhere near the top 10 for Tennessee in 2021. So they may be on the list next year with a roster of more 4- and 5-stars than not, you know, somewhere around 50% right there. But as you said, it's still, to a degree, lower than what Georgia's put forth. Now, the good news, the bad news of this is that by collecting all of this talent, Georgia's still essentially only in a fair fight with Alabama. And obviously, you know, in a football game, it's a funny shaped ball. It can take funny bounces. You know, the most talent doesn't necessarily guarantee a win for you in a situation like this. But obviously, one of the reasons why we have bet with our, you know, mouths when it comes to Georgia versus Florida and some of these other games in the SEC East is primarily based on the fact that Georgia measurably just has more talent.
B.A. Saw, speaking of, Bama got a verbal commitment from a receiver down in Orlando, Christian Leary. Now, did he have Georgia on his list, or was this one of those recruiting battles that was one of those that didn't involve Georgia?
Yeah, to my knowledge, this one didn't really involve Georgia too much, but I will tell you kind of an interesting thing that I saw. I think it was Andrew Bone, who's a recruiting reporter for Alabama, tweeted this out. So he, the receiver you mentioned, and Latham, the 5-star offensive lineman they just got a commitment from the other day. This is kind of interesting. Neither of those players ever visited Tuscaloosa. So this just kind of gives you an idea of how the recruiting world has changed, you know, via coronavirus and everything else, is the fact that a 4-star receiver, which, I don't know that Georgia's necessarily in on all that much, but a pretty big-time player, Latham, a big 5-star offensive lineman that a lot of people would like to have had, and Alabama earns the commitment without getting a visit. Now, does that mean that, you know, you're going to be able to hold on to commitments like that throughout a long haul? Not really quite sure. It just goes to show you that recruiting has been made very different because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't realize that, too, about Latham, who, like you said, is a 5-star guy. He's top 20, I think, on the 247 Sports composite. So Bama, they, you know, I was getting worried. They were hanging around down in the 50s. I didn't know if they were going to be able to shake that, but it looks like they're bouncing back pretty good here with these last couple of commits.
Well, Twitter also will tell you that Bama getting Latham, the big offensive lineman, which seemed to pave the way for Georgia to continue to do what most UGA fans, I think, thought Georgia was doing anyway, which was getting Amarius Mims, maybe Terrence Ferguson, offensive tackle prospect that Georgia is thought to be in the mix for. The Latham commitment to Alabama, at least according to the internet, seems to be paving the way for Georgia there a little bit more.
I can get behind that, that's for sure. By the way, it's also interesting, too, when you look at the 247 commits page for Bama, they consider Bryce Young the third best commit they've ever had in school history. And I know they're going on the ratings points and all of that stuff, too. But I'm assuming, you know, receivers, offensive linemen, they want to flock behind somebody like that that they already have. So that's a big part of that, too.
And I think it's going to be interesting with the possibility that Georgia could play Alabama twice. Obviously, they're going to play once, and my prediction is they will play twice in the SEC championship game there as well. There's a very good chance that Georgia sees a different starting quarterback in both those games. I think it is likely, and Logan was mentioning this earlier, because Mac Jones has played, he's gotten some experience, I think it's likely that he will be the starter when Georgia goes there in September. But I would not surprise me, because I don't think Mac Jones is national championship material. I think he's a fine quarterback, but I think if you're Alabama and you've been powered by a Tua Tagovailoa level player the last couple of years, Mac Jones to me is a step below that, even with a good receiver. So I think the door is open for a transition to take place during the season for Bryce Young to eventually take over. So if I had to make my most educated guess, Georgia playing Bama twice in September and then a rematch in December, I would suggest that Georgia probably sees different starting quarterbacks in both those games.
Brandon Adams with us, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Speaking of recruiting for a second, there's now a more definitive timeline. You and Jeff Sintel have been all over this for Tony Grimes, the five-star cornerback from Virginia. And also along those lines, what are we hearing about, and are we still on a daily watch for Samile Mundon? He said he was going to commit in June. It's June 17th here, BA. What's going on, man?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're kind of getting into the mid-June time now. So, listen, we'll keep our ear to the ground on that. I did see where five-star safety James Williams, who's already put out a top three, so he doesn't have a whole lot of finalists to whittle down at this point in time. I saw where he put out on Twitter that he's looking for some edits. So unless he's going to whittle down his top three to a top two. Now, we have seen some guys go backwards the last couple of years, turn a top three into a top 10 or something like that. But at least on the basis of the social media chatter, it would seem that James Williams has been the most active as of late. Mundon, you'll obviously have your ear to the ground for. And with the Grimes thing, you know, obviously if you're heading into your senior year of high school, I understand the apprehension you might have about, am I going to have a senior year? This is one of those things where me being a little older than Grimes, I think it was always to me obvious that Virginia was going to play high school football. I can understand why you might panic in that moment and think, oh my gosh, I got to find somewhere to play football because my state may not play it this year. But to me, it was always obvious that the Commonwealth of Virginia was not going to be sitting out this fall while their neighboring states were playing high school football. And so I think it's probably pretty obviously heading in that direction now. And so I think for Grimes, it's probably smart to go enjoy your high school season. And by the way, for Georgia, who's wants to earn that commitment, it's probably better that he does hold off here a little bit. I think that later is better when it comes to Georgia and its pursuit of Tony Grimes. Obviously, there's a big threat from North Carolina there. And listen, Mack Brown in North Carolina, they've done some great, great recruiting. This is a real legitimate recruiting program right now, doing a good job of closing those borders. And Dre Bly, the new defensive backs coach there, former very good, really great defensive back of the Tar Heels, is someone that has a good relationship with Grimes because they've come from the same part of the country there as well. So that's probably seemingly the school to watch for when it comes to Grimes, maybe Ohio State a little bit too.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with North Carolina is that the majority of the guys that they have verbal commitments from for the class of 21 are North Carolina guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've done a great job of getting the best players in their state to at least stay for right now. We'll see how
that goes. And Georgia knows this. You know, Georgia knows this. Georgia's recruited the state of North Carolina well.
Yeah.
This is probably an underrated state for talent. We have a tendency to maybe overlook it because it's not really part of the SEC footprint, but it's certainly part of the SEC recruiting footprint. You know, whether you want to start talking about, you know, Zamir White, Jordan Davis, through the years, other names, the state of North Carolina has been good to UGA before. And I guess in a weird way, you know, North Carolina getting better, and I think they may be a top 25 team this year, even ahead of this recruiting success. I think Sam Howell may be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. A top 25 ranked UNC actually in a weird way may be good for Georgia because it's at least a potential stumbling block for Clemson in a way that no other team in the ACC has been able to build themselves up into being. I think that the idea that Clemson could be playing a ranked opponent in the ACC championship game, if things work out this year the way that some folks expect it to, listen, I wouldn't expect Clemson to necessarily lose, but at least it's not the same kind of ACC pushover that they've been playing week in, week out for the last couple of years.
By the way, Georgia's all-time out-of-state signee, according to the 247 Sports Composite, is Kelee Ringo, who we haven't seen yet, but no pressure or anything like that. And right. Then Jacob Eason, Matthew Stafford, and A.J. Green are right behind him, too. So, anyway, that kind of stuff I always find very interesting. And Ringo, I mean, other than, just being able to come in and play, he's got so much. I mean, I don't want to say pressure, but just, here's me. I'm thinking, this guy's going to be first-team All-American, right? He doesn't have any choice with all the accolades. And I know that's not fair, but, he's the one in this class that I can't wait to see. I want to see what he's going to look like.
I've got that feeling about him, man. He's going to be special. Very special.
Well, he's also a part of a very, I agree with you. He's got the athletic look that you obviously want to see, and it's not a surprise to hear that he's among the highest-rated recruits that Georgia has signed. He's also a part of a very deep position group there as well. So sometimes I think the pressure to come in and perform right away, the pressure to be very good, can be mitigated a little bit by, Tyreek Stevens is out of sight, out of mind right now, but when you see him on the field again, it's, oh, yeah, that's a pretty impressive player going into a second year in the program. And, oh, yeah, DJ Daniel played a good bit last year. He could be heading towards an NFL career. Tyson Gamble, now in kind of his third year in the program, back healthy again. That's a former five-star who really wants to make a name for himself. So I think one of the things that eventually may mitigate some of the pressure on a guy like Ringo to come in and perform very well right away is the fact that there are a lot of other guys a little more seasoned in that secondary, ready for the next step of their development. And I think the math guys, the stats guys, will tell you that the experience in the secondary is one of those things that probably matters to the tune of a national championship. So as excited as I am about Ringo, my bet for the biggest seasons in the secondary will still be with those who've kind of played before, come back with a little bit of experience, and have an opportunity to make a name for themselves in the NFL draft this year.
Great stuff, B.A., and hey. We certainly look forward to catching you at noon. Did you have anything, Logan?
I was just going to say, B.A., it is Barry Manilow's 77th birthday. Will you and Mrs. B.A. be celebrating today?
Yeah, we'll take a trip to the Copacabana.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Thanks, B.A. Great talking to you, and we'll catch you again next week.
All right, see you guys.
See you, B.A.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.